My name is Michelle. I'm a compulsive overeater and a sugar addict. And I'm grateful to be here. And you could tell within 5 seconds that I'm from New York City, where I was born and raised, and where I still live. I'm very nervous. I have qualified many, many times, but never recorded. I'm just nervous, so I'm asking my higher power to help me to share something that might be of helpful, might be of help to someone. So I came into Overeaters Anonymous and never stopped coming in May of 1973. I was 29 years old, and I can't believe that I'm about to say that I'm 82 and a half years old. I don't understand what that means. It's thank you. But it, and I, and that's my basic message, is to keep coming back, because I've changed in many ways over the years. And I don't remember a lot of how I was before, except I could tell you physically that I was about 60 pounds more than I am now. And when I look at pictures of myself in college, two of my normally slim friends could stand in front of me, and parts of me would still be is showing outside of them. So I guess I was more than twice as big as what was normal person in those days. I trace my compulsive eating to after my father died when I was 12, which is a really, really hard time in anybody's life. And to compound the injury, when I decided to teach, I kept putting myself in that junior high school situation every day. And it was not a, you know, it was not. It was what it was, and I did the best that I could. I'll just say that my brothers and I were kind of abused by our mom, who I learned in one of these 12-step programs. I got to understand that she was emotionally ill, because she was loving and kind and gave us as many advantages as she could, but she could be very nuts and angry and verbally and physically abusive. I won't go into details. And I think I always felt different, but it was after my father died and I was in junior high school that I really started to eat. And that went on. I have a picture somewhere of myself in after my first year of teaching. And you know, I just looked a lot older than I was, because I was very heavy. And in those days, Civil War times, we wore skirts and stockings and very uncomfortable underwear, and there was no pants and big shirts to cover up whatever was going on, because I mean, I generally covered up, but it was not a happy time. So that's kind of my history. I did diet pills. I was on diets. And I remember one kind of humorous situation, that one of my colleagues invited another woman and myself to her apartment for lunch. And the hostess was one of the people who always talked about being on a diet or was on a diet. It was, you know, like me, and she made us lovely salads. And the civilian among the three of us at one point stopped eating and said, "Enough eating." And I and my hostess looked at each other like we didn't understand what that meant. What is enough eating? And now I'm able to say something like that. So I'm very grateful for that. So one of my colleagues was reading the For Today book on the subway one day, and we were going home from work or going to work, and I asked her what that was, and she told me about Overeaters Anonymous. Oh, I set 5 minutes to try to do the backstory within 5 minutes, and now I'll just do whatever happens. I went to my first meeting. And that meeting still exists. It's the Saturday 4:45 in New York City. It's called the Hope Group. And they've gone back to meeting in person and continue to meet on Zoom. That was my first meeting. And I had my first spiritual experience at that meeting. It amazed me, even though I'd had therapy and stuff, it amazed me that people were talking about things that I thought only I felt. I was amazed to find that people had the same feelings inside that I had. I never knew that. Even the men who spoke, not only the women. It was amazing to me. And at the end of it was a very big room. There were a lot of people there. And one of the women invited me to go to fellowship with some people who are going to a local diner. We have some wonderful diners in Manhattan and maybe and in other parts of New York City where you could eat anything, pretty much any kind of food, anything you want, simply done. A food plan that's a protein, a salad, a vegetable, a potato, whatever it is, they serve breakfast all day. You could get whatever you need. And that diner still exists. I pass it when I drive down that avenue. And that was wonderful. And I just wanted to talk. I mean, my food came and I was just happy to be engaged in fellowship. And it's still true for me, even if I'm hungry. If the food is in front of me, I know I'm going to get to eat it, but I'd really rather talk. I'd really rather engage with people. And that was my beginning of my adventure in Overeaters Anonymous. I am a relapse survivor. I couldn't get it. I didn't get it. When people talked about their abstinence being a gift from God or from their higher power, I didn't know what they were talking about, but I kept coming back. I kept doing fellowship, made phone calls, went to meals with people and coffees with people after the meeting. I just got more and more connected. And when I was abstinent, I led meetings. I remember making lots of phone calls, which is something I don't do now, but I talk about it, and it's a kind of my way of asking my higher power that if higher power wants me to talk to more people, to please give me the willingness to reach out. I do some texting, but I'm not very good at making phone calls. I feel I'm just going to try to keep this on a positive track. There was one time I stopped eating sugar, flour, and wheat, and I was losing weight and getting saner. And then another compulsive eater said to me, this was when I've spent, thank you God, many winters in Florida, because once I retired from teaching, I was able to do that. And I remember one of the OA people there said, oh, let's go join this place, not the one that you're most familiar with. And their requirement was that you eat two of their bars every day. Well, two of their bars had sugar in them, and then I was off and running. And how I got my current abstinence, which I think is from March of 2009, I think, is that one of my nieces came to visit me in Florida and said something like, let's be abstinent together, because she had been in OA. I'm not going to go and talk about her background. And so we were abstinent together. We were abstinent from sugar, flour, and wheat. And I have been abstinent from those substances since then. So for me, that's my bottom line abstinence. And to tell you the truth, I'm not perfectly abstinent from possibly eating too much at a meal, or sometimes there was some nibbling at night, but it's much better than it used to be because there had been a time that I was eating sugar-free candy at night, which made me sick and sad the next morning. And now that I don't do that, I don't feel sick and sad in the morning. I just get up and here's a new day, and I'm grateful that I don't do that anymore. Somewhere along the way, I heard people talking about low blood sugar. And I thought maybe I had low blood sugar, and I had that test twice. I'm not doing it again, but I definitely have low blood sugar. And the not good part about it is that I need to eat more often than 3 meals a day and nothing in between. And I know there are people who talk about that their food plan includes a snack, but I always have traveling food with me, whether it's, I don't know if you speak about foods here, but it's not exciting, just almonds. And because I drive almost everywhere I go, even though I live in the middle of Manhattan, and I will not drive if it's been, if I haven't eaten within the last 2 hours or 3 hours. So sometimes I don't know if it's low blood sugar or anxiety, but I'm not taking a chance if I'm in a car that it's what it is. So and I travel to Florida. I've gone every winter for a number of years, and I drive and I take the auto train. Well, I'm not always sure that the auto train, like last year, the auto train got to Florida 12 hours late or something like that. And whatever they
That's
serve
10.
for, oh, thank you. Whatever they serve for lunch, I was glad that I had a package of tuna fish or and then when I got to the hotel, because that I take traveling food with me. You fail to plan, then you plan to fail. So I have a cousin who used to tease me that if you're hungry, go look in Michelle's trunk. She probably has a can of tuna fish in there. So that's, that's about the food situation. I've been the same size, and I'm just and the same weight, God, for years and years. But since I'm getting older, I'm shrinking, and my middle is getting bigger, and my body is changing, and I'm not worrying about that for today. I stay on a healthy food plan. I'm able to live my life. I've had a knee transplant and a hip transplant in the last, I don't know, within the last 10 years. I'm walking better now than I did 20 years ago. And when I was in the hospital, I really advocated for myself to get the food I needed. And so I do that. And I do physical therapy. I'm continue to do physical therapy at this point for balance and gait, because I really don't want to fall. And not very good at doing exercises on my own at home. But the whole recovery that I feel is really the spiritual solution, and I really would like to talk about that. I'm not always sure exactly what my higher power is, but I really feel that that's made the difference in my life. I was raised with a, that God in the sky on the throne, that God will get you for this, a punishing God. And when I first came into program, I didn't get what people were talking about, a loving higher power. And over the years, I got to see what people were talking about. I got to hear what people were saying. I got to feel that for today, it's almost hard to say this, but for today, my higher power is kind and loving, wants the best for me, that there's some kind of power that, that little flame. I'm mixing things, but for me today, I feel like there's a little flame of life that maybe was breathed into us when we were born, when I was born, and my job is to keep that flame of life alive and share it with other people to help them keep their flame of life alive so that they could share it with other people. Sometimes, especially when I'm in Florida, I think that my higher power has enough love for everybody, just the same as there's enough sun in the sky to cover everybody that my higher power can, can be there for everybody, a loving, a loving somehow. And I'm sorry to be vague. I just, and I say the third step when I get up in the morning. I say the serenity prayer to myself. I say the third step prayer. I say the seventh step prayer from the big book. I ask my higher power to help me be kind to myself and others. And I ask my higher power to help me be abstinent today. And I've begun asking my higher power to let me know that it's around me. And when I first came in, I didn't want to know from any higher power around me because, as I said, it was scary. Some people have talked about setting a chair at the table for their higher power. I think my connection with my higher power is when I concentrate on gratitudes. And I'm grateful when somebody asked me if I would be willing to share gratitudes at night texting. And since that person, shuts off their phone, it doesn't matter when I send them because I tend to stay up later than most people do. And that helps me to focus. But I have a lot of gratitudes in my life. I mean, I told you how old I am. I still drive. I drove in this past week. I drove a friend and me to the Berkshire Mountains, which very beautiful, very beautiful, very windy, very, very windy. And I was not afraid. It was nothing bad happened. I'm still, I can drive. I still sing, not for money. I have gotten paid sometimes, but people still enjoy what I do, and I enjoy doing it. I would like to do it more, but there are some things that are going on in my life with my brother and my family that I'm not pursuing anything more than what I'm doing right now. I'm grateful for that. Sometimes I'm grateful when I find a parking spot, although in New York City, I have a handicap placard, not the blue hanging tag, but that allows me to park in places where other people can't park. I'm grateful I have an apartment that's affordable and that, I have enough money to do what I could do in my life. I'm grateful that I'm neutral around food. One of the things that really annoyed me about I'm not I live by myself, so I don't have to deal with anybody else's food in my house. But I traveled with a friend, as I told you, and she wanted to go to this place to get this special kind of dessert, and I had no desire. Thank you, God. I was perfectly neutral around it, but I felt annoyed with having to sit there and watch her eat it. And then she said that, she could finish it in the car, and then I had to listen to her finishing eating it. And then we had lunch together. And she had to have dessert. And I was, I kind of wanted to get impatience. Maybe that's the character defect. It was like I wanted to get the heck out of there. Let's go do something else or get on the road because I really wanted to get home while it was still kind of light. But the gratitude is that I had,
5 minutes.
thank you, I had no desire. I was perfectly neutral. It doesn't matter. My brother has not been well. And when he was in rehab, there were always a certain kind of cookies over there on his table, thing. And they were there. I mean, I know that some of these things can wear on me. I'm not just saying, oh, la-di-da, I'm never gonna wanna. But a day at a time, I could be grateful. where I could use some improvement, in my opinion, maybe not higher powers' opinion, is a willingness for to ask for help. I mean, I'm in a stage of my life that I think there's only 1% of the country that reaches my age. I read something in the AARP magazine. You know, there's stuff that's coming up. I feel reticent or unable to, but I'm going to ask somebody to help me to try to find a therapist. I have a sponsor. We talk once a week, but I feel like I would like to have more program feedback or something more, maybe work the steps again, something like that. I think that I would like, and I still need to ask my higher power to help me make time to meditate. I have a very, I keep myself very busy, maybe cluttered, maybe distracted. You know, there's always, and living in this city, there's never an end of things that a person could do. Not that I do all of them, because I spend a lot of time at meetings, OA meetings, and another program that I spend some time on telephone meetings with. So it's good for me to remember that I love step six and seven when I recognize a character defect, but then I don't have anybody who says to me, Michelle, you want to look at what you just did or what you thought about that. You know, maybe that's a character defect. Maybe you want to write about it, and then maybe I would write about it if I knew I was accountable to somebody, but I don't have that in my life now. I did at the beginning, you know, lots of phone calls when you have to put quarters in the machines. But nevertheless, I just want to end by saying that I'm grateful to do service. That's another thing that helps me feel connected and kind of spiritual for me, because especially Zoom, I mean, to have you all here sitting on my table and see your faces. And as I said, I live alone. I haven't been out of the house yet today, and it's already 4:30 in the afternoon. But I don't feel alone. I feel connected to people, whether people are sharing their sadnesses or their difficulties, but then I hear what they do to solve the problems. And seeing people at meetings, I go to a lot of meetings, and I moderate meetings. I was scared to do this, but now that it's almost over, I'm very glad that I did it. I enjoyed it. I hope I helped somebody. And I didn't record it because I don't think I could bear listening to myself speak. Singing is okay, but listening to myself speak, I don't think I could do that. When I read, I think I read more appropriately, more middle America, but when I'm talking, I can't help it. And this is even better than it was when I was in school, because I'm more aware of some sounds anyway. So I think that's what I want to say. That's it. To keep coming back. If people are new, keep coming back. Don't leave before the miracle. I read my literature just about every day. I think I read up to five daily readers from three programs, and I'm really glad to be here. 4 o'clock is usually not a good hour for me to be at a meeting, but I'm very grateful that I'm here to see your faces, and I look forward to hearing what other people have to say. Thank you very much.